Yesterday I participated in a Shabbaton for students from Stern College. So I figured it's really kedai to, why should I not tell my students what I told the girls from Stern College? So we usually assume that there are Hamishu Chumshei Torah, and Halacha L'maaseh, we don't really paskin like that. We paskin that there are, that's why we call it a Chumash, it's one-fifth. Halacha L'maaseh, we paskin like the Tanan that there are seven Svarim in Torah Moshe. And Bamidbar is divided into three sections. The beginning of Bamidbar till Bahimat Soah Aroin. And then the two Psuk of Bahimat Soah and Vinucha Yoimar. And then from Vinucha Yoimar till the end of Bamidbar. And the Gemara says in Masecha Shabbos. And that's the meaning of the Pasuk in, it was the Pasuk in Mishlei. I already forgot. Chachmas Bansa Besa Bansa. Different pasuk. There are seven foundations for the Chochmah. So the seven foundations are the seven Chumashim. You can't even call it a Chumash. Usually to separate between Bereshis and Shmos, and Shmos and Vayikra, you have four blank lines. And here you don't have four blank lines. Here you have Nunim Hafuchim. But the Gemara says that these two Psukim, Vayimit Sohar and Menucha Yomer, constitute a sefer bifnei atzmai. What's the significance of this sefer? The Gemara says that Tanoim say we count up all the letters and the two psukim. There are pei hei oisias, 85 oisias. What's the significance of pei hei oisias? So the Gemara says that's the smallest sefer in Tanakh. Only has 85 letters. Let's say you have a sefer Yeshaya, you have a sefer Melochim, and a couple of letters are rubbed out, a couple of psukim are rubbed out, but you have 85 oisias still remaining. So the Gemara said this still has the status of Kisrei HaKodesh and it's Mentame Zayadayim. But if it has less than Pei HaYosias, there's no Sefer in Tanakh that's less than Pei HaYosias. That's based on this Tana that we paskin like, that Vehimet Zoharin is a Sefer Bifnei Atzma. What's the significance of this Sefer Bifnei Atzma? Why do these two psukim deserve to be considered a Sefer Bifnei Atzma? So the idea behind it is that the Torah travels from continent to continent, from society to society, from generation to generation, and the Torah is binding in all the generations. The Torah guides us in all the generations, in all the societies, in all the cultures. It's famous, Rav Soloveitchik used to give an annual drasha at the Mizrahi Convention. And every time he would give a fantastic drush in Yiddish. They're printed in Hebrew already, and they're printed in English. So one of the drushes he spoke, he used to have an unusual style of speaking. He was a very good speaker. So he would say, if I would be the Rambam, I would have written 14 animamans. I would have added on a 14th animamans, that the Torah is meaningful and has and value in all generations, in all societies, in all cultures. The Torah guides us. The Tanoim, the Gemara tells us the Tanoim would look around wherever they lived in the culture, and they would see what midas tovus the Goyim have, and sometimes they would approve of them, and they would say, we should adopt them. And sometimes they would say, they don't fit in with our set of ideals. We can't accept them. Some things you should except from the Gemara. The Gemara says the Persians had nice practices and the Greeks had some nice practices and the Romans had some nice practices or whatever. It's not that they were wearing blinders and they didn't look around what's happening. They looked. And some things they picked up from the Masailam and other things not, because they decided what fits in with the culture of the Torah, what doesn't fit in. So that's this significant Sefer Bifnei Atzma. V'hiv Misahar and Menucha Yaimar is this idea that the Torah travels from generation to generation, from continent to continent, from culture to culture, and the Torah always has what to say. What are the Nunim HaFuchim all about? They're backwards Nuns. So we know that there's a medrash that's called Yalkut Shimoni that was put together in the days of the Rishonim, and it's a likut of different Gemaras and Yerushalmis and Toseftas and other midrashim. It's a likut of midrashim on Tanakh, Yalkut Shimoni. Then in later years, someone put together Yalkut Horu Uveini, is a likut of midrashi Pliya, strange midrashim. Medrash Pliya. It's a different kind of a medrash. So there's a medrash Pliya that's quoted in this Yalkut Horuveini on these psukim. Why do you have nunim hafuchim? So the medrash says that a nun in Aramaic is a fish, and nunim hafuchim represents the fish that swims against the tide. That the Jewish people are always swimming against the tide. The whole world has gone in one direction, and the Jews are going in the opposite direction. A lot of times the world adopts a certain attitude, and the Jews can't accept it because it's in contradiction to what we stand for. So we have to go in the opposite direction. Every summer, the last 12 years or so, I go touring in Europe with a whole group of people. So we go visiting different countries. I remember one year we visited Italy, and then when we were in Rome, so they were going to go visit the Vatican Museum. So you have to pay admission fee to go to the Vatican Museum. So they told us that part of the admission fee goes to keep the museum going. Part of it goes to support the Vatican. So are you allowed to pay an admission fee if part of it goes to the church? I thought we shouldn't be allowed to go. So they told me everybody goes there. All the most religious groups, everybody goes. So we went, I don't know, maybe it wasn't allowed in the first place. I wasn't so convinced that it was permissible in the first place. So then we asked the tour guide, when you go on this tour, do you have to go through any churches? So the guy thinks for a moment. He says, no, you don't have to go through any churches. So going to tour, going. There's nothing really to see there. If we would have notified them in advance that we're coming, they would have been able to show us the Kisviyar of the Rambam and all the Swarm that they have, but we didn't notify them. You come the last minute, so you just see the same as everybody else. So they have statues of the different leaders, of different warriors, nothing of value to us, nothing of value to my group. We were bored with the whole thing. That in order to leave, you have to go through the... I think it's the Sistine Chapel, in order to walk out of the building. So he said, we asked him, is it still used for prayer service? And the guy says, yes. So he said, we asked you in advance, but do you have to go through a church? He said, he forgot all about that. On the way out, the only way to go out is to walk through the Sistine Chapel. So we walked like the fish that swims backwards. My whole group of 50 people, we were not walking backwards, we were walking against the tide. Everybody walked in the entrance. It was going this way. We were going the other way. Instead of going through the Sistine Chapel, we were walking against the flow of everybody else that came. We went out the entrance instead of walking out the exit. That was literally like the fish that goes against the tide. But the Gemara has this idea, Maseches Avodah Zarah, when they talk about kosher fish and non-kosher fish. So the Gemara sounds like it says, it's a question whether this is correct, halacha lemaisa, that the kosher fish has to have fins and scales. And the idea behind having the scales is that it protects the fish, so it has the ability to swim against the tide. The trefa fish cannot swim against the tide. The Gemara has, at one point, the Gemara suggests maybe the trefa fish don't have a backbone, only the kosher fish have a backbone. The kosher fish have scales to protect them, so they have the ability to swim against the tide. So that's what the Yalkut Horuveini says. This represents the Jewish people, the fish that can swim against the tide. The Jews are always swimming against the tide. The whole world is going in one crazy direction, and the Jewish people are going in a totally different direction. On another occasion, Rav Soloveitchik held a drosha for the Mizrahi, also printed, one of the beautiful droshas, that many people recite two different brochas in the morning, and Oisen Lo Yoyev Koyach, and you say, Oisen Yisrael B'Gevura. So Nosan Liyav Kach is a bracha for all of humanity. People work a whole day, then they're tired, so they go to sleep, and then they regain their health, their strength. They regain their strength. And Ozei Yisrael B'Gvura, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Jewish people Gvura. So what's the difference between Gvura and Kayach? Aren't the two brachas saying the same thing? Many don't say the bracha Nosan Liyav Kach. The Vilna Goyen holds that you shouldn't say it. because it doesn't appear in the Gemara. It's one of the brachas that does not appear in the Gemara. The end of brachas, they give you the whole list of all the brachas hashachar. So many will not say. But those who do say, so what are you saying? Two brachas that are the same. Rav Soloveitchik explained that kerach means physical strength, and gvura means heroism, that the Jewish people are heroes. Ozi yisod b'gvura. We go against the tide. Everybody, the whole society is pushing in one direction, and the Jews push in a different, we're pushing in the direction that the Torah tells us to push. And Avraham Avinu is referred to by the Chumash as Avraham HaIvri, and Jewish people are referred to Ivrim, Ivri Anochi. Yoina Hanavi says Ivri Anochi, and the Jewish people are called Ivrim, Shnei Anoshim Ivrim. What is Ivrim? So Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Tanoim two interpretations, two understandings of what the term is, why the Jewish people known as Ivrim. So one pshat is Avraham Avinu came from the other side of the river, came from Aram Naharaim. And then the other pshat is, no, Ivrim kol halam kulam me'ever echad v'Avraham me'ever hasheni. The whole world is going in one direction. Avraham Avinu is taking on the whole world. He doesn't go along with the society. He figures out what's Derech Hashem, and he acts accordingly. In the opening Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, you have the statement, Moshe kibal Torah miSinai miSor liYoshua, etc. And the Bar Tanura has a famous comment, doesn't this Mishnah belong in the beginning of Brachos? As an introduction to Mishnayos, the Torah Shebaal Peh should say, we believe that Torah Min HaShamayim, not only the text of the Torah Shebichsav, but the Torah Shebaal Peh is also Min HaShamayim. So why does it only appear in the middle of Nezikin and as an introduction to Pirkei Avos? It should be in the beginning of the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, beginning of Zroim. So the Bar Tanura says, it's not necessary. Anyone who's learning Torah Shebaal Peh, anyone who's learning Mishnayos, Torah Shebaal Peh, it's understood that he believes that the Torah Shebaal Peh is Min HaShamayim. The Chiddush is that even Pirkei Avos, which many translate as Ethics of the Fathers, and the Fathers referring to the Tanoim, who are quoted in the Mishnayos, so the Mishnah says the Tanoim didn't invent these ideas. Moshe Kibal Torah miSinai, all of our ethics and all of our morality is based on what it says in Tanakh. And the Vilna Gaon has what might be called a commentary on Pirkei Avos. It's not really a commentary. The Bir HaGron Pirkei Avos is like the Bir HaGron Shulchan Aruch. The Bir HaGron Shulchan Aruch just gives you all the Mar Mekoymus. The Vilna Gaon was a descendant of the one who wrote the Bir HaGoyla on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. And the Bir HaGoyla always gives you a mocker for the Sif. And the Vilna Gaon gives you a mocker for every phrase in the Sif. Sometimes the Sif is based on the Gemara, but this phrase comes from Tosfos, that phrase comes from the Rambam. So the Bir HaGoyla assumes that you're reading first the Bir HaGoyla, and then he's going to supplement the Bir HaGoyla, and he's going to give you the rest of the missing Mar Mekoymus on the Shulchan Aruch. So the same is true, the Bir HaGoyla on Pirkei Avos. He just gives you the Mar Mekoymus in Tanakh. And he's working on the premise that's in some editions of the Bir HaGoyla on Pirkei Avos, they have this introduction, that the opening Mishnah in Bava Kamma says Arba Obis Nezikin. So Rashi writes Obis Kor Lahanach Dechsevin Behedi Bekro. Pirkei Avos doesn't mean ethics of the fathers. It's not referring to the Tanoim of the Obis. Obis is ideas that appear in Tanakh are called Obis. Toldos are ideas that are similar to what it says in Tanakh, like Obis and Toldos in Nezikin. So the Obis Rashi says Shor Borim Avehever is explicit in Chumash. And the Toldos are not explicit, but it's sufficiently similar that Toldos aim kayetze behem, since the Toldos the regal keregal, and Toldos the keren kekeren, and Toldos the bar kibar, and Toldos the eish keish. So obvious means things that are explicit in Tanakh. So the Vilna Gaon says, everything in Mishnayos Pirkei Avos says in Tanakh. So he gives you Mar Mekoymus, usually Tehillim, Mishlei, Koheles, once in a while it's really a Chumash, and other places in Tanakh. So that's what the Bar Tanura writes, that other nations also have ethicists who wrote books on morality and ethics, but all of their ethics and morality, they made up on their own, from their own heads. So sometimes it's good, sometimes not so good. Our ethics is all Min HaShamayim. Our ethics was not invented by the Tanoim. They're quoting things from Tanakh. So that's why the opening Bar Tanura on Pirkei Avos says, that's why the Mishnah writes, Moshe Kibbutz Tarmisin at the beginning of Pirkei Avos, you shouldn't think that only the halachas of the Torah Shabbat Pei were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Even the ideas of ethics and morality, which may be common sense, would dictate, no, this is all min hashamayim. We believe in Torah min hashamayim. We believe that God is the one who determines what's ethical and what's moral, and we have to follow the Dvar Hashem. We believe in Torah min hashamayim, that the words of the Torah, word for word and letter for letter, was dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what we said on different occasions. The Gemara will learn out from the fact that a word is spelled Molei Ochoser. The word Na'aro is often spelled Nun Ayin Reish, and once in a while spelled Nun Ayin Reish Hey. So the Gemara learns out in Ksubis why there's a difference. Why over here is spelled Molei? The word Tahor is usually spelled Tes Hey Bab Reish, sometimes Tes Hey Reish, and Gemara will learn out a Din. Why it's spelled Molei Ochoser? Kadosh, usually spelled Kuf Dalet Vav Shin, once in a while spelled without a Vav. Choser, so the Tanoim will learn out something from that. How can you learn out? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word, and letter for letter. So every phrase counts. When you have the Shonis Kfulim, it says Kavatik Berenu. We spoke about it last week. It says in yesterday's Seder, Kavatik Berenu. So the Gemara learns out, Yidarshan L'Shonis Kfulim. Hanik Tanik Nosin Titim Pesach Tiftach Mos Yumos. Whenever you have the Shonis Kfulim, we have not followed the view of Rabbi Shmuel that did B'Torah L'Shon Mei Adam. Rabbi Shmuel was of the opinion that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, he dictated it B'Loshem Ben Yodim. So people, a lot of times, say extra things. They speak unnecessarily. I speak a lot, and once every couple of years, I listen to a tape of my own talk. I can't understand how anybody can follow what I say. I realize that I never finish a sentence. I start a sentence and then I start another sentence. I never finish a sentence. I don't know how you can follow what I'm saying. So that's a machlokes hatanaim. When the Rebbe Shalom dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, did he dictate it b'losha meri adam? So you had people repeat themselves unnecessarily, or no? So we follow Rebbe Akiva's opinion. Lo di b'tor k'losha meri adam. Whenever you have the shonis kful midashin something. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Deis that Derech B'riyosu Shel Adam, normally man was created in such a way that he's a social animal. He likes to get along with other people. You don't want to stand out like a sore thumb. Most people are followers. Most people are not leaders. Most people are followers. So the Rambam says, therefore there's a din that you're not allowed to be friendly with a Rasha. The opening pasuk in Tehillim, Ashrei hu ish asher lo halach ba'atzas rishoyim, v'derech hatayim lo yamad v'moshe v'leitzim lo yoshav. So the Gemara has a comment, shelo halach ba'atzas rishoyim. He doesn't walk. If he don't walk, then you won't. It won't lead to the next step. Moshe, how does it say? V'derech Hashem lo yamad. If you're going to walk with them, then you're going to stand still and carry on conversation, and then Moshe v'leitzim lo yoshav. Then you're going to sit and discuss. One thing is going to lead to the other. So you should be careful not even to walk with the Rishoyim. And this will not lead to Omad, and this will not lead, Mimela will not lead to Yoshav. Whom you're friendly with is very important. You have to be very careful whom you associate with. And Avram Avinu spoke to his nephew Lot that there's a riv. So Avram offers Lot. Let's separate. So Lot decided to go where the money is. He said, he saw that you're going to make a lot of money when you go there. So he didn't care about the fact that he's going to leave his uncle, who's preaching monotheism. He's going to go with the gangsters, with the Rishoyim, who do all the Averis in the world, because he wants to get rich. He was supposed to learn from the Chumash not to make that choice. It's better to be a little less wealthy and to live with the tzaddikim rather than to live with the Rishoyim in a society of Rishoyim and to be wealthier. The Chumash records the story of the original sin, the Chet of Eitz Hadas. So a question can be raised. Bishleima, according to the Catholics, that the original sin plays such a major role in their theology. So we understand why the Chumash writes about the original sin. But in our religion, we believe Elokai Neshama Shenasat to be Tahira. I was born with a pure soul. And when I do Averis, and then I stain my soul. So what is the significance of the original sin? What does it have to do with me? Why does the Torah write the story of Adam and Rishon and Chava, how they sinned for the Eitz Hadas? It's irrelevant to me. So the Malbim in his commentary on Chumash explains that the Chumash records the story of the Eitz Hadas to teach us what a typical Avera is like. That people will always think the grass is greener on the other side. They think that if they'll sin, they'll have an affair with the Eish Hashish, they'll have more pleasure than if they live with their own wife. You can have the same pleasure with your own wife as with someone else's wife. People think if they'll be Mechal Shabbos, they'll make more money. They can make more money, b'chol. There are multimillionaires, Jewish people, are Shomer Shabbos, the heter, and they don't cheat in business. The Gemara has a whole arichas in Chulin that everything the Torah prohibited us from getting pleasure from, there's a parallel pleasure that you can get from eating beheta. You want to know what basar b'cholov tastes like, so there's a certain kind of food that tastes that is basar b'cholov, and you're allowed to eat it. Certain treif of fish, you want to know what the treif of fish tastes like. There are kosher fish that taste exactly the same as the treif of fish. So the same, the Eitz Hadas. What was the Eitz Hadas? What was so delicious about the Eitz Hadas? So the Tanoim weren't there in Gan Eden. So they had different opinions. What exactly was the Eitz Hadas? One opinion is that the Eitz Hadas was an Esrog tree. It doesn't seem to be the only Esrog tree. There were other Esrog trees as well in Gan Eden. And the Chumash describes the reason why Chava and Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas. They saw that it's Nechmad Lamara. It looked like it was very tasty. All the trees in Gan Eden are described Nechmad Lamara. They were all tasty. They all looked delicious. So what was the difference in this tree and the other trees? The other trees were also, there were a lot of Esrog trees. According to one opinion in the Tanaim, it must have been to Eino. Because after they sinned and they realized that Vayakei Rumim Hema, so they took Vayispru Ale to Eino. So the other trees, Rashi quotes Acha Medrash, the other trees didn't allow them to take any leaves in order to make clothing. And the fig tree allowed them to take fig leaves to cover their bodies. So it must be that they sinned from the fig tree. So one opinion is that was a fig tree. But there are other fig trees. It wasn't the one and only fig tree. So you could have gotten the same hanah by eating a different tree. They didn't have to eat from the Eitz Hadas. According to the third opinion in Tanoim, wheat used to grow on trees at that time. Then later on, the wheat grows in the ground. So they ate wheat. There were other wheat trees. It wasn't the only wheat tree. So that's one lesson that we should learn from the Eitz Hadas, that people always have this imagination that you can get more pleasure by doing the Dabar HaOsa than from doing the Dabar HaMut. And the Gemara says, it's not true. People always think the grass is greener on the other side. And then, the Medrash points out on the Pasuk, Kishamata L'kol Ishtecha. What does it say? L'kol Ishtecha. She say, Adam Rishon listened to his wife. Kishamata le'ishtecha. Why le'kol ishtecha? So the Medrash understands that Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, and then she told Adam Rishon, why don't you have a little from the Eitz Hadas? Said the Ribbono Shel Olam said, no, he's going to punish us, he's going to die. So she started crying, and she said, you mean I'm going to die, and you're going to survive, and you're going to marry someone else? And she was crying, no one else to marry. She was the only girl around. So she was crying so much till Adam Rishon gave in. So a lot of times we give in to the pressure of society, to the pressure of your wife, or to the pressure of your children, or to the pressure of the general culture and the society. So the Torah is telling us that's a lot of times the source of sin. You give in to the pressure of society. You shouldn't give in. The Jew should be like the fish that swims against the tide. Jews were always countercultural. They were always fighting certain aspects of the culture where they lived. We shouldn't fall in. Remember many years ago, my wife showed me on the internet there was some Palestinian non-Jew who was in business, and he lives in America, and he knew a lot of Jewish businessmen. And he knew for years that this season, yeah, the high holidays, the Day of Atonement, New Year's, okay, they celebrate New Year's, the Day of Atonement. So he asked, what is the Day of Atonement all about? So his Jewish business ran. He asked, what do you do? So he said, we go to the synagogue, we admit to God that we sin, and we bang on our chest and our hearts, and we promise God we're not going to repeat the sin again, and we start a new slate. So the Palestinians said, what a beautiful idea. In our culture, we never admit that we made a mistake. That's not manly. That's not like a man to admit that you made a mistake. We'll do anything. We'll stand on our head to cover up on anything wrong that we do. And then that'll lead us to do other things that are improper. And then we cover up on that. And then we keep on covering up. We never admit that we made a mistake. What a beautiful religion. There's a concept of tshuva. You admit that you made a mistake. And you start all over again. Then this was a different email that was floating around also. A Palestinian was complaining about the fact that the Palestinians are suicide bombers in Eretz Yisrael. So he said, the Israelis are getting Nobel Awards. This was years ago, I think, when Professor Alman got the Nobel Award. He lives in Eretz Yisrael now. He said, the Israelis are getting Nobel Awards. They're accomplishing things for the world that are recognized as big breakthroughs. He said, why are the Palestinians committing suicide? Suicide is for a person that doesn't have any value in living. He has no future. Why do we have no future? Let's do like the Israelis. Let's try to do research. Let's try to discover new things and invent new things. And we'll also get the Nobel Awards. The Jewish people are always at the forefront of ethics and the forefront of research. The Jews are less than 1% of the world population, much less than 1% of the world population. The Jews get over 20% of the Nobel Awards. And the Nobel Awards are not chosen by Jewish people. And there's a high percentage of the 22% of Nobel Awards that go to Jewish people. There's a very high percentage of them go to religious Jews. I remember one of the women was a doctor who got the Nobel Award wore a shekel. They have a picture with the shekel. Her father-in-law was a prominent rabbi in Rochester, New York. Many of them are religious. I think it's a higher percentage of religious people than there is the percentage of religious Jews among them. There's a smaller percentage of Orthodox Jews than is represented in Nobel Awards. The Jewish people always do Tikkun HaOlam. Well, we have our own system of ethics and our own system of values. Rabbi Soloveitchik, yesterday I was visiting by a rabbi. I ate a meal on Shabbos by a rabbi. So the rabbi shows me, I said something in one of the drushes that I delivered in the shul. So the rabbi shows me, they put out the Chamishu Chum Shetar with Rabbi Soloveitchik's comments that they collect from different sources. So I used an expression, Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say, we shouldn't try to imitate the society, we shouldn't feel that we should imitate the society that we live in. It's a neurotic society. That's what he said 60 years ago. Now it's not neurotic, now it's psychotic. Neurotic means you have a neurosis. Psychotic means you are crazy. So we should imitate the psychotic and neurotic society. Baruch Hashem, we have our own values. And our values have been respected throughout the generations by different Goyish thinkers. Rav Soloveitchik was sometimes mentioned, the beauty of Malchus, Chonis, and Shofaris, the prayer that we daven so quickly in Rosh Hashanah, you don't pay attention to it. The prayer is so beautiful, so lofty, so that he told us there's one German philosopher who wrote a whole book in German, but the Malchus, Chonis, and Shofaris he has in the original Hebrew. He says, what a beautiful tefillah it is. We don't appreciate our own religion, the Korach of Tshuva, the Korach of Tfila, the Nusach HaTfila. Our values are so beautiful. There was a Goyish theologian who wrote about the Pasuk, I think it's in yesterday's Sedra, when the soldiers are in the army, so they have to be careful not to have Tzoya and Eraglayim and not to have Erevo. Until the Torah became popular, this was a common thing. There was always Erevot, Tzoyim, Eraglayim, even when they were praying, even when they were doing something religious to avoid Zara. This was such a big breakthrough that you have to have cleanliness. You have to, everything should be Mikoyan HaMakom. You have to, if you want to do something godly, you have to have it, you know, you don't do it in the toilet, you don't do it in the Beis HaKisa. You have to have cleanliness. Our religion has such beautiful things. We were brought up as children in our religion. We take everything for granted. Shouldn't take for granted. It's such a beautiful religion. people, a lot of Jewish people feel as if an inferiority complex, as if the goyim have something that we don't have. We have something that they don't have. We have the Torah, it's gewaldic, the Torah min ha-shamayim. Everything is min ha-shamayim. Very unfortunate, we live in a society where so many people think that they're orthodox, and they're picking up the worst things from the Ummas Ha'olam. The Medrash has an expression complaining about the Jewish people that we pick up all the time things from our neighbors. So the Medrash has it, and the Tanaim say, you should pick up. The Tanaim say they picked up certain midas, tavis, midas of Derech Eretz from the Persians, from the Greeks, and from the Romans. So the Medrash has an expression, kimikul kolim shabahem asisim, kimisukonim shabahem lo asisim. Pick up the wonderful things that the Goyim have. Don't pick up the disgusting things that they have. Shouldn't pick up the disgusting things from the Ummas Ha'olam. Okay, we are still learning Chulin. We're still in the middle of Chulin. I think everyone can run through the Agarata, beautiful Agarata about Rav Pinchas ben Yoyer. The Gemara, I don't think, ever quotes him as saying any halacha. He lived in the days of Rabbi Yudah Anos, he lived in the days of the Tanoim. He's always known as a big tzaddik. Let's start on Chesam and Aleph, on the top line, Chesam and Aleph. Om Rab Zera Om Shmuel. He quotes in the name of Shmuel. Libin Sakim is Shochad Bo. Person has a knife that's burning hot. If he'll put his finger on it, it's going to burn his finger. So the Shaila is, when you shecht an animal with a knife, the knife has to be sharp, has to cut the kona and the veshet by cutting. You have to cut, fiddling back and forth. If you cut by pushing down, that's called drasa. Drasa is nevela. Some of you may have watched the video about shechita, that the fellow kept on mispronouncing the word. There's drasa and there's drusa. They're two different words. Drusa is one of the trefas. If an animal was clawed by a bigger animal, by the neck, that's a drusa. Drusa is from all the trefas, all the different kinds of trefas. Drusa, the Rambam writes, drusa is the one that's mentioned in the Chumash. Basa basa, the treifa lo sechel. If the animal was basa, then it was attacked by a bigger animal. And the other is that you have a hole in the kishkis and a hole in the heart and some other broken leg or something. The other kinds of treifas are not written explicitly in the Chumash. The others are Torah Shabbal Peh. So the Rambam says, because drusa is the only one that's mefurish b'kroz, Torah Shabbat, that's why we machmer in a sofik drusa. In a sofik by the other trefas, we would be mekel. So this is the taz in Yeridei, in the beginning of Hilchas Trefas. I think it's Simon Lamites, is the first Simon Hilchas Trefas. So he says, what in the world is the Rambam referring to? Where do you have a difference between drusa and the other trefas, that by a sofik drusa you machmer, the other trefas you mekel? He's not sure. So that's a question, what's the Rambam driving at? But that's drusa. And here we're talking about drusa. If instead of fiddling with the knife back and forth, you take a very sharp knife and you push it down, you always have to push down. You can fiddle from today till tomorrow back and forth. If you don't push down, it's not going to cut. But as you're pushing down, you have to push backwards and forwards as well. So that's two different things. Drosa and drusa are two different things. One is makes an nevela. If you do drosa, shia drosa, chalad agrama v'ikr. The Gemara in the previous daf said, the chamishul chashchita. And drusa is a form of a trefa. So the shaila is, if I take a burning hot knife and I put it on the animal's neck, it'll burn through the kona and the veshet. If I don't have to fiddle back and forth, I don't have to push down. It'll burn the kona and the veshet. But if it burns kona and the veshet, that's a nevela. That's not even drusa. You didn't even cut with the knife. You just burnt the kona and the veshet. So that's not called shechita. Shechita means you have to kill the animal by cutting with the knife. So if you have liben, the shadows, you have liben sakin, and you just hold the burning hot knife on top of the neck of the animal and it burns through the cotton of the veshet, that's going to be an avela. He's discussing a case, you have a burning hot knife, and if you would just put it on the neck, it would burn and make an avela. But he doesn't put it, he puts on the neck and he fiddles back and forth. So the shaila is, it cuts. So the shaila is, does it cut first and then it burns? So since when he did the shechita, it didn't burn yet, so it's a kosher shechita, or should I assume, no, maybe it burnt the cut in the veshet before it cut it, so if it burns it, then it's not a shechita. So that's his chidush, chidud kodim lalibunam. Since the knife is sharp, So we assume that the cutting of the sharpness of the edge of the knife precedes the burning, and therefore it's a kosher shechita. The question of mitzvahs, that's what he says, a kosher shechita. So the Gemara is bothered with a kasha v'ho'ika tzedodim. Fine. When he starts cutting with the knife, so taka, the sharp edge is going to cut before it burns the kana neveshet, but the side of the knife is not cutting anymore. The edge on the bottom of the knife is cutting. So if you push quickly, it's going to cut before it burns. But on the side of the knife, let's say in the middle of cutting the veshet, so Rashi explains, there's a din of veshet nekuvasa b'mashu. There's the kuvas of veshet and a nipsiko ha-gargeris. If you have the kone, the windpipe is broken, Rubai, if 51% of the windpipe is cut through, shaloi and shal shchita, the animal is still functioning, the animal is still alive, but you have the kone is cut 51%, so then shchita cannot be chal. Shchita cannot be chal. And if you have the kuvas aveshet, it's also going to be a treifa. So the Gemara is asking a question, when you're cutting with this knife, through the bottom of the knife, the sharp edge is going to be chidud ha-koinim lilibuna. The cutting is going to take place before it burns. So it's a good shchita, but the side of the knife is going to burn a hole in the veshet, and the kuvas aveshet is b'mashu. So even though I've already started cutting the veshet, and the side of the knife is going to burn a hole in the veshet, can I get that part that's cut already? I already cut through that part. But still, that's the top tesis, mashma mikan. It would appear from the Gemara's kasha. Before you get to the answer, the Gemara gives an answer, a technical answer. But the kasha was, v'ikat tzedodim. What's the kasha? Mashma mikan tesis says, she'im b'shah shchita, nikev ha-veshet. Keneged Mashe Shachat, he already cut through part of the veshet, and the side of the knife is not doing any cutting; it's just burning out. So it's going to burn a hole in the veshet. The kuvas aveshet is b'mashehu, even though it's in the kuvas aveshet. Keneged Mashe Kvar Shachat, already what was geshachne still makes it into a treifa, because that burning is a nekev, not as part of the shchita. The cutting. The fact that you made a nekev in the veshet, nekev in the kone, by cutting, by the shchita, that's what shchita is all about. You can't say every animal that you shecht is a trefa or an avela because of the kubis of veshet and nipsika hagagev. No, that's, it's a gloy milsel, my friend. When you finish the shchita, that was all part of the shchita. But the burning minat zdodim, that's not part of the shchita. If it would have been a cold knife, it would not have burnt minat zdodim. But because it's a burning hot knife, so the Gemara asks the kasha v'ikat stodim. So it's mashma from the Gemara, even though it's nikav aveshi kenege mashe shachai, also treifa the hocha abiboy lemesim mishum stodim, and not for the fact that mirvach rovach. So that's what the Gemara answers. And for the Gemara, the veshit is held together so tightly. When we start to cut, it's going to separate like a V. So the two sides of the knife are not going to be touching the veshet anymore. It's held together in such tightness that when you start to cut, it's already separating. So beis hashchita is mirvach, or beis hashchita means the neck. The neck is going to be divided, and the two sides of the knife that are burning hot are not going to be burning any holes in the veshet. Okay, sure. I don't know if the shayla ever came up, lamaisa, which mishugan is going to shech with the burning hot knife. So the Gemara has a shayla based on this. Boy, lahu, based on this. So the Gemara has a shayla in Hilchas Tzaras. There are different kinds of tzaras. There's tzaras batim and tzaras begodim and tzaras of a person. Tzaras of a person, a mokum say or shalob a mokum say, a different dinim. So there's an institution of shchino michvo. Shchino michvo means a nega tzaras has to be a certain color of white, and negat saraz develops in a location on the body where there was a shchin or a mikvah. Mikvah means that it was burnt. It told us, either Eish or told us a Eish. There are two words in Hebrew. There's or and there's ur. It's spelled the same. Aleph Arvesh. Luchu ba'aru ba'ur ishchem. The Nabi says, you're going to burn in your own Gehenim. Ur is a fire. Aleph Arvesh. And or, Aleph Arvesh, spelled the same, is light. Or and ur, two different words. Okay, it's in Tanakh like that. So, if you have told us a ur, if a person has a burn on his body because of a fire, he put his hand in a fire, so he got burnt. Or burning hot water. Let's say he cooked some water to make coffee or tea or something, or soup, burning hot. That's told us a ur, told us a ish, told us a ur. And they poured the scalding hot, not yad zoledes, yad nichvez bo. Yad nichvez, but they poured the scalding water on his body, and he has a big bruise. He has a big bruise on the body. So that's michva. So if an eged tzaras develops in the michva, so then the chumash has a din. You only wait 1 week. At the end of the week, if there's no siman tumah, usually when one has a neged tzaras, there are three simani tumah. Either michya, pisoyan, or se'alovan. Michya means, let's say there's a neged tzaras that's so big. A neged tzaras is white, certain color white. And then in the middle of the neged tzaras, there's michyas basachai baseis. The rest of the body is normal color. In the middle of the neged tzaras is also normal color. And around it is all white color. Mare, lovan of neged tzaras. So that's one siman tuma. If you have michyas basachai baseis, in the middle of the neged tzaras, you have normal color skin. Or if you have pisoyan, the fellow comes to the kohen, he's already had this neged tzaras for a couple of months. Neged tzaras is an unusual din. We distinguish between the different tumeim. There's a tumah hayotzal megufay, and then there's a tumah that he contracted by touching someone else. He went to a funeral. So the mace is avi avois hatumah, the people attend the funeral. The people that touch the mace become an av hatumah. And then when they shake hands with someone else, they touch someone else, makes them into a rishon the tumah. So whenever the tumah is transmitted, that's tumas mago. And whenever a person is a zab zab, a nidi, a letters, a mitzayra, a balkeri, that's called tumah yotzal megufa. The tumah originates, he didn't receive tumah from outside, he became tomei. Balkeri is a question in the Rishonim. We learned last year, Bava Kama, the first daf in Bava Kama. So the Gemara quotes a Mishnah, that ovas atumah, a Mishnah from Taras, ovas atumah, there are three ovas atumah. The mace is avi avoy satuma, so the one who came in contact with the mace is an avatuma, he's one of the three. So the Mishnah says, Hasheretz, Vashich Vazera, Vatomi mace. The dead sheretz, one of the Shmana Shvatz, Mamurim, Batoira. So the sheretz is an avatuma. Whoever touches a dead sheretz, Mimoso becomes a Rishon Vatuma. So the sheretz is an avatuma. Hasheretz, Vashich Vazera. If Shich Vazera comes out from a man's body, a man is over 9 years old. Before the age of 9, his name Biyosad Biyos, the Sheikh Vazera doesn't count. After the age of 9, then it has the status of Sheikh Vazera. So the Sheikh Vazera is an Av HaTumah. So whoever touches it becomes a Rishon HaTumah. But Tomei Meis, the Meis is Abi Avoy, so whoever touches the Meis becomes an Av HaTumah. So the Shita Mekubet says, on that first daf of Baba Kama quotes, the Rash from Mishnayis, that why does it say HaSheikh Vazera is an Av HaTumah? Why doesn't it say the Balkeri is an av hatumah? So it would appear from the Mishnah, perhaps, that the balkeri is a rishon l'tumah. When the Sheikh Vazer comes out of his body and it's touching his body on the outside, inside, when the Sheikh Vazer is still inside the body, it's maga beis ha-storm, so it's not metame. When it comes out of the body, then it's metame, the person. So the balkeri is always a rishon l'tumah, because it's a tumas maga. And Atosis in Maikot discusses it, it's a Shah Gemara in the first paragraph in Yuma. Maybe that's not true. Maybe the Valkyrie is an Avatuma, not a Rishon Tumah. It's not a Tumah Smaga, it's a Tumah Yotza Olam Igufoy. Yeah, what's the din? What's the difference? What's what we just spoke the other day? Was it this year? We're talking about what's the difference between Tumah Yotza Olam Igufoy and Tumas Mago. So one of the differences for Knisa La Harabais, the pasuk in the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar in Parshas Nosa says, "Shalchem min amachne kol tzurah v'chal zav v'chatomi l'nofesh." The three Tameim are sent out, and the word Machne appears three times in that parsha. So the Gemara Pesachim points out there are three Machnes. There's Machne Shechina, the Azorah is considered Machne Shechina, then Harabais is considered Machne Leviya, then all of Yerushalayim has a din of Machne Yisrael. The Machne Shechina, all Tameim are prohibited from entering, even if it's only Tumas Mago. But from entering the Harabais, that's only if the person has a Tumah Yotza Lemigufa. That's Zab, Zab, and Nidio, and there's a Mitzurah, those five people. And then the Gemara sounds like in the first Perek in Yuma, the Gemara sounds like it says that a Balkari is also Tumah Yotza Lemigufa. Tumah Yotza Lemigufa is an Avatumah. According to this Rasha Mishnayis that the Shittim Kovetz is quoted on the first daf in Bava Kamma, so the Balkari is a Rishon Tumah. It's not a Tumah Yotza Lemigufa, it's a Tumah Smago. So you should be permitted to enter into the Harabais. Pashta said that we don't allow the Balkari to enter into the Harabais. So that's a different category of Tumah. Then in Yerushalayim, only the Mitzorah is prohibited to enter. All the other Tumayim are permitted to enter Yerushalayim. Only a Mitzorah is not allowed to enter. And the same is true regarding all Ayoros, HaMekof, Eschav, Moshe, Yeshua, Ben-Nu, and the Mitzorahim are not allowed to enter. Machlek Zerushayim, whether you would get Malkus, Lo Yovo, Toch HaMachane. Do we consider all Ayoros, HaMekof, Eschav, and Eretz Yisrael as a Machane, just like Yerushalayim, as a din of Machane Yisrael? So if a Mitzorah enters any of the Ayoros, HaMekof, Eschav, he gets Malkus. So they say, no. Yishalcha mir HaMachane. There's an essay that a Mitzorah shouldn't enter the Ayoros, HaMekof, Eschav, but the Lois says, Lo Yovo, Toch HaMachane only applies to Yerushalayim. The other Ayoros, HaMekof, Eschav, don't have the full din like Yerushalayim. So that's a Machlekes HaRishayim. So one of the people who is considered a Tumah Yotza Lemigufay, the most chomedic kind of Tumah Yotza Lemigufay, is the Mitzorah. He's not even allowed to enter Yerushalayim or all the Ayoros HaMekof Eschayim. So it's interesting. The Mitzorah is not Tommy to the Kohen Paskins. He has to go to a Kohen. And when the Kohen declares, you are a Tommy Mitzorah, then he becomes Tommy. Once he becomes Tommy, even if the Neged Saras heals, and he's perfectly healthy now, he doesn't have any Negat Saras anymore, he remains Tomei till he goes through the procedure and the Kohen declares you are not Tor. So one can ask a question, why is that called Tumah Yotza Lemigufay? He develops the Negat Saras and he's still Tor till the Kohen paskins. But that's the din. It's a strange din. That's the din. That even though the Mitzorah is not Tomei till the Kohen declares that he's Tomei, so still it's considered a Tumah Yotza Lemigufay. So let's say the person has this Negat Saras. The last couple of months is growing bigger, 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 bigger. He comes to the Kohen says, wow, that's a Maratome. He does the Kohen declare him right away as a Mitzorah Mukhlat? He declares him right away, no. He's a Kohenis HaNega. When do you declare as a Mukhlat? You have to have one of the three Simonatum, either Pisoyon, the Negat Saras expands, it grows bigger. Not, he tells me that 3 months ago it was so small, and every week it gets bigger, 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 it's on half of his body. No, it got bigger from the last time the Kohen saw him. If he comes to the Kohen after 3 months of the Negat Saras getting bigger, 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 so the Kohen says, okay, today we're going to put a marker to know where the Negat Saras is. You come back in the end of the week, we'll take a look. Did it get bigger? Did it spread? Pisoy means that it spread, or didn't it spread? So even though it's spreading the last 3 months, it doesn't count. Before you come to the Kohen, it doesn't count. So if you have Pisoyon at the end of a week, then that's Metame. If you have Seir Lovan, let's say he has a Negat Sarah, he comes to the Kohen and he says, I have this Negat Sarah that's been here for the last 3 months, and a month ago, the hair inside the Negat Sarah turned white. So if you have, first there was Marit Saras, Negat Saras, and then Seir Banega Hafach Lovan, after the Negat, if Seir Lovan preceded the Negat Saras, then it's not Metame. If the Negat Saras preceded the Seir Lovan, then it's a Simen Tumah. So if he comes to the Kohen and he says, have this Negat Saras, it started 3 months ago as a small thing, got bigger, 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 and a month ago, the hair inside turned white. So the Kohen is going to make it right away, a Mitzorah Mukhlat, based on the description that he gives. He's a Mitzorah Mukhlat. But if it's Pisayon, then it only the Kohen only declares him as Tomei. If it's Poiseh, starting from today, the Kohen puts a pen, he makes a mark on it to know exactly how big the Negat Saras is this week. Then he'll look at the end of the week. And then the third Simen Tumah is Michya. Michas Pasach Chai Baseis. Let's say the person comes to the Kohen and he says, "Ah, this Negev Tzara is 3 months already. Keeps on getting bigger, 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 bigger. And last week, the flesh, the skin in the middle of this big Negev Tzara turned into normal color skin." So the Kohen is machlat him right away. You don't have to wait later. You have already a michya. Michas basar chai baseis. There's normal color skin inside the Negev Tzara. So that's my time. So that's a, usually you have a Negev Tzara on the body. So the one of three simane tuma. You metami, you make him into a mitzora muchlat, either with michya, or michya es basar chai baseis, or pisoyan on Seil Lovan. Seil Lovan, Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Mishnah, you say you have to have Shtei Seiris. Seir has to be Shtei Seiris. Whenever there's a din of Seir, it has to have Shtei Seiris. So here the Brisa says, based on Pesukim and Chumash, the Mishnah says that if you have a Sofek in Hilchas Tumas Ohel, you have to look in Mishnah Seholis. You have to look in Chumash, you won't find too much. You have to look in Mishnah. But if you have a Sofik, Milchas Negev Tzara, you look in the Chumash. Because there are more details in the Chumash than there are in the Mishnah. So the... so the Mishnah say that if you have Shechin or Mikvah, you don't have 2 weeks. If the end of a week, nothing is doing, from the three Simani Tumah, only two of them apply to Shechin and Mikvah. It's not going to be any michyo. It's a bruise or an injury. It's burnt over there. So there isn't going to be any michyo spasachai in the middle. It's just not going to happen. But the two simone tumi can have it, either seolovon or pisoyan if it spreads. But what if at the end of the week there's no seolovon and there's no pisoyan? So if it would have been any other marat saras, negat saras, you would have to wait another week to see. And he would be a Mitzorah Muzgar for 2 weeks. But over here, if it's Shechin or Mikvah, so the Tumah, the Mitzorah Muzgar is only for 1 week. And if at the end of the week there's no Pisoyan and there's no Seol Avon, he goes to Mikvah and he's Torah. So the Brisa says Shechin or Mikvah Mitamim B'Shavu Echad, as opposed to 2 weeks. If nothing changed, at the end of 1 week, it goes to the mikvah nistar, and b'shnei simanim either say alavan or pisoyan. You can't have michias pasachai baseis. Just not going to happen. So lamachil can akasa with the dinim are exactly identical. So why didn't the Torah write them together? Why does the Torah repeat everything again by michya, by shchin, and by mikvah? The dinim are exactly the same. You only have two simani tuma, say alavan and pisoyan. Michya doesn't apply. And at the end of 1 week, if nothing changes, he goes to the mikvah nistar. Why are they written in separate parshas, one after the other? Lama chol ken akasu, loy malach, to teach you, shei mitztarfim zeh zeh. What do you mean, shei mitztarfim? You have to have a minimum size of a gris. A gris is some kind of a pool, some kind of a bean in the days of the Tanoim. Yeah, the pool, kigris, the Rabbanan, there's a din, if a woman finds a kesem, minatora, a woman is only tome as a nidor, as ova, if she has a hargosha, she feels when the dam is coming out. If she doesn't have hargosha, she just finds a stain of dam, it looks like dam, on her clothing, so that's a din of ksamim, that's been the Rabbanan. So there's a minimum size, if it's a tiny speck of dam, we're not machmir, only if it's sheer kigris. So the Shia Gris is not only on the level of the Raisa, the Shia Gris is relevant for Negev Tzaras, Tzaras Batim also. The minimum size Shia is a Gris, a size of a certain pool, Rashi says, some kind of a bean. And with the Rabbanon, the Shia Gris is relevant. Called the Tikkun, Rabbanon came, the Raisa Tikkun, so they made that the Shia Gris is relevant for the din of Ksamim by Anisha, that she should have a din of Anida with the Rabbanon. So the din is aim start from zem zeh. V'tanya, you have a third brisa. What's not in the Mishnah in Negoim? Okay, ezu shchin ve'ezu mikvah. When is it one? When is it the other one? So the Mishnah explains loka be'eitz. Someone has a wooden bat and they bang me on the arm. So I have a whole black and blue mark over there. So that was not. It's there's heat there, and there's going to be a black and blue mark. But it's not called michva, because the bruise didn't come because of a burn, because of fire. If loka be'etz or be'evin, someone took a stone and they threw it on my arm, and I have a black and blue mark, or be'gefes, I was handling, what does Rashi say gefes is? The last narrow line in Rashi, right before the wide line. Shehit min yoda, he sticks his hand into psola shel zesim. Hu chamiyo, it's very hot. Me'elof, it's naturally hot. You didn't have to cook it in a pot. V'nichvo, he got his hand burnt because of the natural heat that you have in the zesim. But it's not told as esh. It's not esh, it's not told as esh. That's called shchin. Or b'chamitveria. Chamitveria is naturally hot water from hot springs, but it wasn't heated up by fire. Chamitveria is toldos chama. The Gemara calls it toldos. Anything that's not from eish, anything that's heated by water is called toldos eish. Toldos aur, toldos eish. Interchangeable expressions. But if it's chamitveria, we assume that it's naturally hot. It's not because it's not because it was heated up by fire. There's a din in Hilchos Shabbos here, the Tosfos has a comment, Chamitveria. There's a din in Hilchos Shabbos that in order to violate Bishul Deraisa, you have to cook something the Eish or the Toldos Eish. Let's say I take a raw egg and I cook it on top of the fire. So that's a malacha. Bishul, let's say I have a pot of burning hot water that was cooked on the fire. I take the pot off the fire. Then I put a raw egg in the pot. So if the water is sufficiently burning hot, the egg will get cooked. I don't know if it'll become a hard-boiled egg, but it'll become a soft-boiled egg. It won't remain raw. If you take a piece of raw meat, if you take a pot of burning hot water and you take it off the fire, take a piece of raw meat, you can let it sit there as long as you want. It's not going to get cooked. In order that flesh should get cooked, you have to cook it on top of the fire. You can't cook meat with toldos eish. That's not going to work. But if you have eggs, some things are easier to cook, so they can get cooked with toldos eish. But that's a, the Gemara said, that's a malocha deraisa. Either bishul de'eish, the Babli says like that. The Shachan Yoridei has a discussion, does Yerushalmi agree with this or not? That's a question. But the Babli, we usually paskan like the Babli whenever there's a conflict. The Babli is beferish that one who cooks the toldos ha'esh, if the food gets cooked, so then it's a violation of bishul deraisa. So there it is in Chula, in Masechus Shabbos, the 24th prokim, the third perek kira, has a lot of details about bishul, about hatmana, and about the hachazara, and about shehiya, about the heating and reheating and cooking food on Shabbos. So there there's a machlekes Rabbi Yosi Nachachamim, machlekes hatanoim. How do we treat chamitveria? If you have springs that come from under the ground and the water is burning hot, the water is yatzaled, is burning hot. So do we consider it like toldos chama, as if it was heated up by the sun? So the Tana Rabbi Yosi feels that we treat chamitveria, the burning hot water that comes up in the springs in Tveria, we treat it like toldos aur, like toldos aish. Why? Well, what fire did it get heated up by? So Rabbi Yosi claimed, Hashum de mechlefo apischa de gehenim, because the naturally burning hot waters from the springs in Tveria must have passed by the opening to gehenim. There's a place under the surface of the ground that's called gehenim, and it has real fires there. And since it's a fire, so the burning hot water is considered toldos aish, toldos aur. So it's a machlegs hatanoi, machlegs in mitzias. Strange to have a machlegs in mitzias. And it's relevant la aloha, machlegs in aloha. Do you consider chamitveria is toldos ha'ur, or do I treat it like, and therefore the it can accomplish bishul deraisa? I'll take a cup, I'll take a pot, and I'll fill it up with chamitveria. And then I'll put a raw egg in this pot, and the raw egg will become soft-boiled egg. Not going to become a hard-boiled egg, become a soft-boiled egg. Will that constitute bishul deraisa? Or no? So we paskan no, that is considered like toldos chama. No prohibition of bishul is only midirabbanan. And Rabbi Yosi is of the opinion no, that it's toldos reish, because chofa apischa de gehenim. The chamitveria burning hot because it passes by the Eish of Gehenna, which is real Tovah, so it's really Tovah's Eish. So Tosfos is not sure, even if you hold like Rabbi Yossi in Hilchos Shabbos, that Chami Tveria is considered Tovah's Ur, Tovah's Eish, maybe he would agree with respect to this din of Shechin or Michva, that the Mishnah says that Chami Tveria is considered like Shechin, it's not considered like Michva, because it's Tovah's Achama. So that's what Tosfos is not sure. Shema Kan Hayamoide, maybe Rabbi Yossi, even though he disagrees in Hilchos Shabbos, maybe he will agree to the other Tanaim, because here the Mishnah in the Goyim doesn't mention that any Tana disagrees about the Batechami Tver. So maybe he would agree over Hashem Akano Yemoide, the Nida Mishum Shchin, Golom Mishum Michva. Why? Given the high Ur Bidei Shamayim. Since it's not a man made fire. They're not sure. They're not sure whether the Tana doesn't make a Halach Mais, doesn't make a difference, because we don't pass like Rabbi Yossi anyway. We don't consider Chami Tveria told us to have been again to Hilchos Shabbos either. But there's a misupik, what would Rabbi Yossi say been again to Shechina Micha?
Isn't Or Bidei Shamayim the same thing as told us Chama? I mean, isn't Chama also Bidei Shamayim? How does that solve Rabbi Yossi?
I don't know.
And also, if Tosos would make that chiluk of Or Bidei Shamayim, would that mean that maybe if a Michva that would come from, let's say, a sunburn, would that be a
shchin,
not a mikvah?
I think so. That's what they're assuming. That if a person has overexposure to the sun and it burnt his body, then he develops a negative tzaraas. That they all the Tanaim would agree that that's a shchin, that's not a mikvah. Yeah, that seems to be the premise of the Tosfos. Yeah, we don't treat the sun as a fire. What do the scientists think? The sun is mamish fire? I don't know. I'm not familiar. Scientists think the sun is mamish fire over there. I don't know. We don't treat the sun. That's l'choladeus. Bishul b'chama is not called bishul menater. It's not called eish. I told us eish. So nachamol. So what's the definition of shchin? What's the definition of michva? So if the person has a black and blue mark because of eight, somebody bopped them with a baseball bat, wood, or even a big rock fell on him. Or Gephas, he stuck his hands into the Zasim stuff that's burning hot, Petra, naturally burning hot. Chamitveria, at least Halacha Lamaisa, the way we assume Chamitveria is not considered Toldos Oish. Tais is not sure whether Rabbi Yossi would agree or disagree. We don't pass like Rabbi Yossi anyway. B'chol Dabi Shaloi Bo Machma Sa'ur. If it's not Toldos Sa'ur, Lasui Avar Meikoroi. Avar is lead. If you mine lead from the ground, so Rashi says it's burning hot, and you can burn your body. So if you have this burning hot lead touches your body, that's not called the michva, that's called shchin. Zehu shchin. What is michva? Michva is if you got burned. Michva bigacheles, with a coal. There's a fire, and a coal fell on his arm. Or remetz. Remetz is also coals. Or besidra seach, there was cement that they were cooking on top of a fire. And then the cement is told us oish. Or begafsis resech. Okay, b'choldab abo machma sa'ur. Whenever it's told us sa'ur, lasui to include also chamehur, water that was heated up. You have burning hot water, or burning hot coffee, burning hot soup. And it was heated up on the fire. And then they pour it on his body. So then he has a burn. Zuhi michvo. And what's the difference? Why lamachil kanakosu v'tanya? We have another tosefta. Shchina michvo. What if the thing is both shchin and michva? The same location, it was burnt, machmas ha'ur, and it also bapped something on it. Does it have the status of a shchin, or does it have the status of the michva? So the Tosefta says it depends what came first. In a shchin kodim la michva, first there was a shchin, a baseball bat hit him, and then he got burnt over there, beat la michva es ha'shchin. Whatever came second wins, and it's considered. Michva came second, it's considered Michva. The Michva kodemes l'shchin, if the Michva preceded the Shchin, and then later on came the Shchin, bitla Shchin is a Michva, I treat it like a Shchin, whatever came second. So the Shaila that we had now was Iboilahu. Where was I already lost track? Where was Iboilahu? Here, on the fourth line from the top, Iboilahu. Liben Shpud Vihika Boy. He hits someone's hand with a burning hot shpud. So he has a black and blue mark because of the bang and also because of the burn. The Gemara is Mesupik, which one came first? Whichever one came first, we forget about, because whichever one comes second wins. So the Chacham Askinon, the Gemara says, here with the Shaila, Iboilu, and the fourth line from the top, the Shaila is, Vavahacha, Hechidomi, what happened to Gagon? The Habi Bey, Chatzigri, Shchin, Meikora. You only consider it a negative sarasa if you have a gris. Shchin and Mikveh that are contiguous to each other, not mitzdarf and yachad. You have to have a half a gris of Shchin and half a gris of Shchin. Or half a gris of Mikveh, half a gris of Mikveh. It could be mitzdarf and yachad if they're contiguous, if they're touching. So you have a gris solid in one place. So Hechidomi, what's the case here that we raise the Yiboilahu? You're going to have the Beichatzig Vishchin Meikor. It has a half a gris, every shear of. And now, touching the first chatzigris, my, what's the din? Do you? It depends on the mitzvah. So which one came first? Should I assume? Chavota caught him, the bang came first, the osi, havlon, the burning hot burn comes later, so the first hefigris on the one side is a shchin. They banged them with a baseball bat, but it wasn't a full sheer gris. It was a half a sheer. And then we should assume that what? First, Chavot the Kodim, first the bang comes and then the burn comes, so the second half of the gris is Mikvah, V'loy Mitztarfim, Kol Shechina Mikvah, Na Mitztarfim. Maybe I should assume Faker, Havla Kodim, the burning of the mikveh comes first, and then v'asi chavata later. We're not sure which one happens first. V'asi chavata later, mevatel elahavla. Therefore, havde shchina shchina mitzdarf. Because if you have the same location, it has a black and blue mark for two reasons, one after the other. Whichever one comes second wins. So it's labeled based on the second. So shchin is not mitzdarf with a mikveh. Shchin is mitzdarf with a shchin. So that's the Gemara Sofik. The Sofik was raised because Shmuel said on the top line, Chidud HaKodim L'Libun, if you're cutting with the knife, the cutting, the sharp edge of the knife is going to come first before the burning. So they wanted to know, what is not a sharp edge? What if they bang the guy with this burning hot metal thing? So there's a bang and also a burn. So which one came first, that whichever came second is kaveh, what the nature of the thing is. Because shchina mikvah not mitztarf miyachah. So that's the shayla. My, should you assume chavata kodim, v'asi havla v'atle l'chavata, adu shchina mikvah, v'ay mitztarf miyachah, adil mano, havla kodim, maybe the burn comes first, v'asi chavata later, v'atle l'chavata, shchina mikvah mitztarf. That's the shayla. That's the shayla. The shayla mitzias, which that's relevant l'haloch. So Gemara says, Toshma, that we just said on the top line on the Omid. Reb Zera quotes in the name of Shmuel Liban, Tzak Meshach Habash Chitos Kshet B'Kos Chidud HaKodim B'Libuna. What do you see? Chavot HaKodim. Just like over there, the cutting comes first. Over here, the bang causes the black and blue mark first. And then the burning comes second. Mar said, that's not necessarily a proof. That's what triggered the Holy Bailahu. That's the fourth line from the top. Is based on Shmuel's statement. Shmuel assumes Chidud HaKodim L'Libuna. So they wanted to know, would it be the same if it's not Chidud? What if it's just a clap, a bang? The Gemara says, Alma Chavot HaKodim, we see that the harm that's caused because of the bang precedes. The Gemara says, no, it's not all right. Maybe Chidud Shani, maybe Shmuel only made a statement, if it's a sharp edge of the knife, so the cutting edge cuts before it burns. If it would burn before it cuts, it would be Nevela. If you burn the cut of Nevation, you burn through the conurbation, that's not shechita. You have to shecht it with the sharpness of the knife, not with the burning. So Shmuel just made a statement that chidud HaKodim L'Libun. It doesn't necessarily follow through that the same should be true b'negiyah to shechina mikveh. So we don't know. We don't know what the answer is. The Gemara says, Toshma, let's see, there's a Beferish Ebraisa that talks about this case. Li ben shpud v'hika bo, says Beferish. Li ben shpud v'hika bo. And then he bangs the person's body. So it's nida mishum michvas esh. What do you see? Alma, the inference is clear. Chavata kodim. First comes the bang of the pressure, and then it gets burnt later. If you have first a shchin, then a michvah, so the michvah wins. Whatever comes second wins. So his feet. First comes the chavata kodim, and afterwards comes the havlo, the burning. So it's beferish, exactly the shayla that we raised, the suffering, Yiboy Lahu, it's a price, and for the Gemara, Hasam Nami, maybe that price is not talking about a case that you banged with a burning hot piece of metal on the guy's arm, and the bang caused the black and blue mark, and then the burning caused again the same black and blue mark, and so whatever comes second wins. No, maybe that price is talking about Hasam Nami, the Barze Mivris, the Hanechidud. Maybe it's only talking about the rare case that he took a fork or a knife and he stuck it into the fellow's arm. So that's chidud the kadim lelibun. But if it's a bang, we still don't know. Okay. Not too relevant bizman hazeh. Sure. Good enough. So that doesn't come up so often. Then hilcha shchita, chidudim kadim lelibun. I haven't heard in recent years a shayla about that. Okay. The bottom Gemara is a little more relevant. Halacha Maaseh also doesn't come up too often. The last six lines. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi Bar Avuah. He says the name Rabbi Avuah. Sakan Shel Avodas Kochavim. What is a Sakan Shel Avodas Kochavim? So we said many times there are four things in Avodah Zarah that are Asa. The thing itself that the person deifies. A Jew or a non-Jew deifies, he bows down to a Chumash. He thinks that the Chumash has the power of a deity. It bows down to a watch, or it bows down to a tape recorder or something. So if he thinks it has powers of a deity, so that's Avodizar. Avodizar is also Bahanor. The one on the top of Amid Beis refers to a machlekes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. There's a difference between a Jew who worships Avodizar and a non-Jew who worships Avodizar. But it's machlekes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel in which direction. One of them only asks, let's say he designates something as a deity. He says, I believe that this is a deity, he sets it aside. But he didn't worship it yet. So do you say, once he designates it, he declares that I believe that this has the powers of a deity, powers of a god, it already becomes Asa Banuah? Do you say, no, only becomes Asa Banuah if he actually worships it, till he does some Avodah. And if we have Psukim and Chumash that distinguish between Avodah Zarah Shel Yisrael and Avodah Zarah Shel Nochri. So Halacha Lamaisa, we paskin, if a Nochri designates it as Avodah Zarah, it's Asa Banuah right away. If a Jew designates it, it doesn't yet become Asa Banuah, Achi Yehovit, till he actually worships it. So this Machlek, Rabbi Kivir Rabbi Shmuel is it by the Jew or by the non-Jew that you say only becomes Asa Banuah when he actually worships it? And the other one, it becomes Asa Banuah immediately when he designates it. So we paskin Halacha, that a non-Jew who designates it as Avodah Zarah already becomes Asa Banuah immediately. And if a Jew designates it, it's not yet Asa Banuah. There's another difference between if a Jew worships Avodah Zarah and a non-Jew worships it, does it lend itself to Bittul? Let's say a non-Jew worships the watch. If it's my watch, he says, Ein an mosad dov shein shaloi. His kavanah doesn't relate to my watch. Tosfos writes in Yevamos on Daf Pei Beis, if a non-Jew comes into my house and my wife is cooking the meat and he pours in milk. So you don't say, Ein on the Moshe Dabba Shein Shaloi. It doesn't become Bas V'Cholav. It becomes Bas V'Cholav even if the milk falls in by accident. You don't need Das Ha'odam. The only time you say, Ein on the Moshe Dabba Shein Shaloi, if you need Kavonas Ha'odam, if you're going to designate something as a Dabba Shaloi by the Zohar, then you say, your designation, your Machshavas, can't relate to my property. Or let's say you're a guest in my home for Shabbos, so you come home on Friday, you have your wallet, so you put your wallet on, I give you your own bedroom, you put your wallet on a tray in the room. And in the middle of Shabbos, my wife needs a tray to serve something. So you made the tray into a bus as a davar ha'aser. So Rabbi Kiveg and Shulchan Aruch quotes the Taisus in Masech Shabbos, Ein al mosad davar she'en shaloi. It only becomes a bus as a davar ha'aser if it's meniach, if it's shocheach, you forgot all about it. Yesterday I was speaking in the shul, so they had a shtender. So they wanted to move the shtender up, so the shayla was, but there were pens and pencils in the shtender. They left it there, no one was thinking on Erev Shabbos. They left it there from the weekday, so the shtender does not become a bus as a davar ha'aser. You have to only becomes a bus as it meniach. So if I'm a guest in your home, and I put my wallet on Erev Shabbos, I put my wallet on top of a serving tray that happens to be in the bedroom, and then your wife needs it, so it never became a bus into davar ha'aser, because they know the most of davar she'en shaloi. My machshava of kavana, I want to leave it there that it should be holding my wallet, my money. My machshava doesn't relate to your property. That's ain't on the most adobe shayna shaloi. Whenever you need kavana, whenever you need machshava, so it has to be the owner can have machshava. So the let's say a Jew worships his tape recorder. He thinks the tape recorder has powers of a deity. And then a Meshuggah comes along and says, how can that be the deity? I'm God. Right? Meshuggah. So he can't be Mevatla. But the Zohar Shal Yisrael doesn't lend itself to people. If a Goy worships Avodah Zarah, and Avodah Zarah belongs to the Goy, and a Jew didn't worship it, and nor does it belong to a Jew, so then you say, if it's Avodah Zarah Shal Nochri, then a Nochri can come and be Mevatla. He can say, I don't believe that that's a deity. He can say, I don't believe in any of these Avodah Zarah. He can say, I am God. How can that? He's crazy. He says, I am God. How can that be God? Even if he's screwy, he says, I don't believe. This is God, not that. This one, not this one. Even if it's a stupid thing, but he said, this one is not God, so it lends itself to Bitl. So the din is a Bitl Avodah Zarah only applies if it's Avodah Zarah Shal Nochri. Means the one who worshipped it is a Nochri, and the one who owned it all along is a Nochri, doesn't belong to a Jew, and the one who's being Mevatlet is a Nochri. So that's a discussion that the Poskim have. What if you have a Jew who's a Mumal Avodah Zarah? So we learned the Gemara's before, that a Mumal Adavar Echad, let's say the Jew eats treifas. So Mumal Adavar Echad is not considered Dina Kakam L'chala Tarakula. That was the Gemara. There was the opinion of Rav Meir and Pcheres Daf Lamed, Mumla Dabrecha Dina Kakam L'chala Tarakula, but we don't pass like Rav Meir. We pass like the Sugi here, Mumla Arelis, Mumla Dabrecha, Mumla Echol Nevelis, L'Teyomen. Mumla Dabrecha is not Dina Kakam L'chala Tarakula. What if the fellow is a Mumla by the Zara, Mumla Chal Shabbos Befresia? So then he is Dina Kakam L'chala Tarakula. So let's say you have a Jew who's a Mumla by the Zara, and he designates a certain thing, he decides that that has the powers of a deity. So we treat him like a Nochri, Mumla Avodah Zarah Dina Kakam, so he can ask the Avodah Zarah just by designating, even if he didn't worship it yet. Becomes Asa Bahanoa, even Kodim Sheyeyoved. Would you say that since it only became Asa Bahanoa because Dina Kakam, so then it should lend itself to Bitl, because Avodah Zarah Shal Nochri lends itself to Bitl. So we're Machman, we say no. That the Jew who's a Mumal Avodah Zarah is both Dina Kisrael and Dina Kanachri at the same time. It's a tie to the Sasri. It's a contradiction. How can he be both a Yisrael and a Nachri at the same time? That's Allah. His mother was Jewish. He was born Jewish. He's a Yisrael. Then we say Dina Kakam. So he's both. He's a Nachri and a Yisrael at the same time. So we even go to Chumre by a tie to the Sasri. We say, he asks it, Bahanoah, he's a Mumal Avodah Zarah for the last years. He worships Avodah Zarah all the time. If we say if he designates something as a deity, it becomes Asbahanoah immediately. But you don't say Dina Kenachri, therefore he has the ability to be Mevatl Avodah Zarah. And therefore his Avodah Zarah lends itself to Bitl if a Nachri will come along. No, you say no, he's Jewish. So you go to Chumre in both directions, even though it's a Tartar Disasri. The Avnei Nezer has a lot about that, about Tartar Disasri. The halacha doesn't always stay away from a tarte disaster. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to point out. That in modern physics, there's such a thing as a tarte disaster, and that's the way the Rebbe Shalom created the world. That what's the pilpul again? Whether electricity is a particle or a wave. So it's both at the same time. Steris, both at the same time. So just like in physics, you can have a tarte disaster. The Rebbe Shalom created the world. So the halacha sometimes also has a tie to this asri.
Could we extend the same thing by akuti after the gezira, or would we assume that they're actually 100% akuti?
That was the machlokes. Let's say the kusi after the gezira, can you lend them beribis? Can you say is dina ken nochri lachumra, but not lekula? If he's mekadosh anisha, yechoshes likidushin. So that was the machlokes of Rishonim and Shulchan Aruch. They quote that hilchas ribis. The machlokes, can you lend to a kusi beribis? And then Hilchas and Ebenezer, if a goy is Mekadosh and Isha and Choshesh and Mekadushin, what if a kusi after the Gzeira is Mekadosh and Isha? So that's a big machlokes. The Rambam is the one we spoke. The Rambam is the one who says that a kusi lachar Gzeira is only if he's dead. A dead kusi is only metami b'agam masas, not metami ba'ohel. There's bein l'kula bein l'chumra. When they declared the kusi mesahakum, bein l'kula bein l'chumra. And many other Rishonim disagree. No, the kusi is like a mumal avodah zarah. that he's both a Yisrael and a Nachri at the same time. He's a tied to this Asri. Yeah, that's your Shaila is the Machlokes HaRishayim. What were they Goyzer? Lias Kakam L'chol Divrayim. So again, so there are four things in Avodah Zarah that are asked about. One is the actual the thing that you deify, a pestle, the statue, whatever, the totem pole. That's Avodah Zarah. Then you have Noye Avodah Zarah, the Psukim say, Vastach Mekesav Azov, Aleim Velakach Talach. They have a totem pole that they worship. Then they dress it up with clothing and with earrings and with necklaces and with rings and so on. Not only that they don't think that the rings are Avodah Zarah, they think that the totem pole is the Avodah Zarah. So Noye Avodah Zarah Aros HaBanor. Then Mishamshi Avodah Zarah Aros HaBanor. If you have a knife that you usually designated to use to shech korbanos for the Avodah Zarah, you have a menorah that you usually use to light neiris for the Avodah Zarah, you have a mizbech that you usually use to be makrib korbanos for the Avodah Zarah. So all of these are Mishamshi Avodah Zarah. So Mishamshi Avodah Zarah Aras HaBanor. So all three, Avodah Zarah, and Noye Avodah Zarah, and Mishamshi Avodah Zarah, lend themselves to Bitl. If there was worship by a goy and it belongs to a goy is not going to be vatalit, so then they lend themselves to Bitl. And the fourth thing that's Aras HaBanor is that Tikrubis, that's what the Gemara says, Tikrubis is also because of its past history, not because of its present or future history. If it ever was Tikrubis, so it remains Aras HaBanor the Anavod. You can't be Mevatel the Kruvis. Avodah Zarah is not Aras HaBanor because of its past history, because it was once worshipped. If it's still Avodah Zarah now, but if you have a Nochri who's Mevatel it, then it's no longer Avodah Zarah. And the Kruvis, and the same is true, Noye Avodah Zarah, Mishamshi Avodah Zarah. It's also because of its present status and its future status. It still continues to be Oymed Lakach, still Oymed to serve as Avodah Zarah, or to serve as Noye Avodah Zarah or Mishamshi Avodah Zarah. But the Kruvis is also because of its past history. So it's not going to help if you're going to be Mevatelin. So that's what the Gemara asks. What do you mean over here? Hashem HaBisakhan Shal Avodah Zarah. What do you mean? Someone deifies the knife? There's a knife that they use to kill animals, and he's designating the knife as the Getchke. He deifies the knife. That probably doesn't mean that. Probably means that the knife is used to shech korbanos for the Avodah Zarah. So it's Mishamshi Avodah Zarah. It's not Avodah Zarah Mamish. So even though there's a Machlokes of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, which direction do you distinguish between a Jew and a Goy? If the Jew, we pass him like Rabbi Akiva, if the Jew designates it as Avodah Zarah, it's not the Aras HaBanor. It's only Aras HaBanor after Achashe Yehovit, after he worships it. If a Goy designates it as Avodah Zarah, it becomes Aras HaBanor right away. Rabbi Shmuel holds the reverse. So that whole machlokes, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, the Gemara says, Bein le Rabbi Shmuel, Bein le Rabbi Akiva, the top line, that whole machlokes is by Avodah Zarah Mamish, where are you machmer, where are you mekel? Avodah Zarah shal nochri, where machmer? That's how we pass, not only say no. Avodah Zarah shal Yisrael, where machmer? That by designating alone, it becomes also manor. But by Mishamshi Avodah Zarah, they both agree. Bein le Rishmo, Bein le Rabbi Akiva, Mishamshi Avodah Zkechovim, only after it's actually Mishamish. If he just designated the knife, we plan to use this knife to slaughter Korbanos for the Avodah Zarah, but we never did it yet. So all the Tanaim would agree that it's not yet Mishamish Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says, no, we're talking about a Sakhan Shal Avodah Zarah, which we used already for Avodah Zarah. So it is Aras HaBanor. Fine. We're talking about a knife that did become Aras HaBanor. Not that it was designated to use to be Mishamish Avodah Zarah, designated is not enough to aser. That's what the Gemara in Sanhedrin has a machlokes Abaye v'Rava, whether Hazmana Milsi, Hazmana La Milsi, if someone died. Someone bought Tachrichim while he's still alive, so the Tachrichim are not yet called Mishamshi Ameis. He's not dead yet. The only time there's machlokes Abaye v'Rava is if the person is dead already, and then you bought Tachrichim, or you made Tachrichim, it doesn't make a difference. You bought Tachrichim, you made Tachrichim. So do you say it's already called Mishamshi HaMeis even before you put it on the meis, because it's designated to function, to serve as Mishamshi HaMeis? Or do you say, no, it's only Mishamshi HaMeis after it's actually Mishamshi HaMeis. When you put it on the meis, a meis also by Noah, that's a pasuk. That's a pasuk that says, V'tomish HaMiriam HaTikov HaShom, the word Shom appears. Then the Gemara says the word Shom appears by Egla Rufo. And Egla Rufa, we have a different marker. Egla Rufa is Aras HaBanor. So you learn Gzeres Shavah. But Tom Shamir, we have to cover Sham. Then a mace, a Jewish mace, is Aras HaBanor. So that's a shaila whether that gzera shava is a real bona fide gzera shava, or maybe it's only an asmachta. Tosfos assumes that it's 100% rosh gemura, and that's a din deraisa, that a mace, a Jewish mace, asamano, is a din deraisa. The Shlomo Melech is not so convinced about these Ashkenazi, that the Baalei HaTosfos. They took it so literally. He said, maybe it's only an asmachta. Maybe the whole gzera shava is only an asmachta. So that's a machlokes. We usually assume that a mace is also banu alaktesis, that it's an isa deraisa. But Misham Sheh Hameis, that's a machlokes. Rabbi Kivegi has a tshuva. He quotes a machlokes achreina, where the Misham Sheh Hameis is an isa deraisa and isa derabban. Many hold Misham Sheh Hameis, there isn't even a pasuk, and so maybe the tachrichim are only awesome. No, maybe it's only with the rabban. That's a machlokes achreina. So that's what the Gemara is talking about. Omer Rabba Bar Abuha, Sakan Shalabar Zora, you have a knife that's awesome, no? Says it's mutalishchad bo, you're permitted to use the Sakan Shalabar Zora. Even though it's awesome, no, you're permitted to use it to shecht an animal. Why? I, but you're getting hano. So Tosis explains, the Gemara is a little unclear. Rashi explains a little bit, but Tosis explains even more. Mutalishchad bo. Taisa says, what if you do an activity that causes hefsid and rebach at the same time? Do you consider that getting hanor, or do you say no, it's making a hefsid? So the halacha says, with respect to violation of isur hanor, it depends whether kilkula yeser al tikunoi, or tikulo yeser al kilkula. If the kilkul, the hefsid is greater than the rebach, then it's not called getting hanor. If the rebach is greater than the kilkul, then I say you're getting hanor. So if you have a behemah misukenes, the behemah is deathly sick. If you don't shecht it quickly, it's going to become an avela. And the avela, only the non-Jews are going to buy. If it's going to be shchuto, you can charge blood kosher prices for it. So if you take a knife that's also hanor, you shecht the misukenes, tikuna yeser al kilkuloi. The animal's about to drop dead. So you're really gaining a lot by shechting with it. So then, that's considered getting hanor from the sakan shalav with the zara to use it to shecht. You're not allowed to shecht with it. But if you take a regular animal, let's say a dairy cow making money, it gives off milk every day. You know, someone takes a knife and he shechts it. So now you can only sell the meat as kosher flesh, but you could have waited another year or two or three. Dairy cows usually have now, they have a life expectancy of 3 years approximately. You can use it because now that years ago they used to live longer. In recent years they milk the cow for all it's worth. So the cows don't live so long. The dairy cows don't live so long. So after 3 years it's eating up more, it costs more money to feed it than it's worth to get the milk. So they shlecht it after a couple of years. So if you shecht the dairy cow at the beginning of its career, so the kilkul is greater than the tikkun. You could have made a lot of money using it as a dairy cow. Or you have a cow that does plows, a steer, that does work on the field, or carries burdens, whatever. So the cow, the animal while it's alive, is worth more money than after it's dead. After it's dead, you can only sell it as glatt kosher meat. You can only make so much money. But while it's alive, it's really worth more. So whenever kilkula yeser al tikuna, then it's not called getting hanor from the sakan shalav with the zora. If tikuna yeser al kilkula, then it is called getting hanor. So v'shecht the mesukenes, also lachta, also lishchot the sam mesukenes, because then tikuna yeser al kilkula, so then it is considered getting hanor. This is constrained to Hilcha Shabbos. In Shabbos there's a din, and mekalkal is potter. If you do a malacha, be mekalkal not chayv, because the pasuk says malach is machshev esas v'tayim. So in Hilchas Shabbos, you don't need that you should get hanoa from the malacha. It should be mesaken as opposed to mekalkal. Even though kilkula yeser al tikuna, as long as there's a little bit of tikun, so that's called a malacha. Malach is machshev es. There is a tikun. So that's what Tosis says. The contrast. They quote a gemara pesach and dafayin gimel. That's an important Tosis. It appears a few times in Shas and other Masichtas as well. You have to know what they're alluding to. They're alluding to this Taisus on Ches Amin Aleph. Let's say the person does a malacha on Shabbos that accomplishes tikkun and has kilkul also, and the kilkul is greater than the tikkun. But as long as there's a little bit of tikkun, so that's enough to be called malachas mal Shabbos. when you're talking about Isuri Hanoi, you're not talking about this in the Sakana Mikalkal, Nilcha Shabbos, Malachas, Malshevis. You're talking, is it considered Nene from Isuri Hanoi? So that depends on the sum total, whether Kilkula Yasu al Tikuna, Tikuna Yasu al Kilkula. So Rachel used to give a mashal. It's questionable whether the mashal is correct in Halacha, but this is what he said. Let's say I have a Rembrandt, and Rembrandt signed his name on the bottom. And I signed my name, Herschel Schechter. So it was worth more before I signed my name. So I'm a calcal the painting. And then when an expert comes and erases my signature, and now he restored it to its original case. So usually they say, Moichik is only called a Moloche, Moichik Amanas Lichtoi. But here, Moichik he accomplished. Now it's worth the Rembrandt that it was all along. So Rav Soloveitchik thought, this is the question Mishnah Berurah says, not so. This is the question Halacha. Rav Soloveitchik thought that writing is always called tikkun. He wrote something. So the guy who writes his name, even though he's ruining the Rembrandt, it's not worth the $1 million that it was worth before, because I signed my name on the bottom. But writing is always called mesaken on Shabbos, even though the kilkul is greater than the tikkun. And the guy who erases it, mechike, is always called mekalkel, unless in mechike kamenas lesaken, even though the mechike is making, restoring the value of the Rembrandt. Now it's worth $1 million again. And the Mishnah Berurah gives that marshal, and he thinks he's quoting Achrayim. I think not so. That's the question, the details. How do you work out the details? Okay, Leonardo, tomorrow we have to continue. Okay? Not so hard. The bottom Taisa, famous Taisus, Aloch Alamaisa. These are famous topics. Taisus and Anabe is very famous Taisus. Tov.